Well, good morning right here on Sunday morning, April 26, 2020. And just great to have you here with us today and looking forward to spending the next hour with you. And if I give Wendy maybe the hour and 5 minutes, I don't know. I know the message today is a little longer than normal, but I think hopefully, I just don't know. I have a lot of pages, but it's good to see everybody. We're just going to kind of take a break. Make sure you have your coffee refilled and up to go. And I have my coffee here, and I promise not to do this again with it. I have been practicing all week talking and holding a mug in my hand and not to throw water all over the place. But if you are on and up and ready, hit me with a text so I know we're connecting with people out there. I believe Don or Doug put a neat little link to the left-hand side of the screen on BBS Radio today where it just says Zoom, and it had the number. All I had to do was hit it, and my Zoom came up. So right to this spot. It seems like it was a lot easier today than normal. So if you are there this morning, let me know and send out some love, and I want to make sure you're there. It always usually takes a minute or two for everybody to figure out. I've been talking to Kim and Richard. They've been here this morning early, and it's a pre-show. If you want to come on about 10, 15 minutes early, you get to see me button my shirt and straighten my hair. So, but if you're on, let me know. I'm waiting for some text to make sure everything is good. Don was saying we was in the thousands and thousands last week of people that have watched and viewed and was there. So that's always good to know. I have no idea who they are. Going to give you about another minute, and then we'll start. Good morning, Annie. Here we go. Isn't it kind of funny how they start happening? All of a sudden, it just starts pouring in. So this is good. All right. I love this. Hello, Philip, Becky, and Sarah, and Gary, and Sherry, and Jack Manley's here, Jack and Teresa. We've been listening to you chat with Kim and Richard. We didn't say anything bad about Jack or Teresa, did we, Kim? I hope not. They were listening. No, I'm teasing. Oh, wow, this is great. Philip and Monica. Patsy Howell's online. Patsy, I hope you're doing good. And I can't keep up with them now, so this is great. Okay, fantastic. I love this. They're just keeping on. I'm going to mute this, so because my curiosity would want to go, okay, who? Okay, the old days and the Hunts are there. Jim and Dot are there. Anna and Pat and the girls. I hope the girls are all there, too. One more minute, and then we'll kick off. I love this Facebook thing. I love that we're on Facebook Live. I love that we're on YouTube. So you can actually type in Face Springs Live on YouTube and you'll see it. It's also on the webpage. I think Curtis puts it on there too. It's on the BBS radio site. And I think there's some other sources. But anytime that you're there and if you want to share it, that helps with the algorithms or algorithms, whatever they call them, but just kick it out to everybody that you know, and I would love to have more people join in. And I'm kind of coming up with a wild idea. Hi, Kelly and Candy and Robert and Amber, the Mans are there, and Peggy and Charlie, and this is great. I love it. Okay, I'm going to put this down, although it's so hard. I'll check back and respond back to each of you at the end. It takes you about 45 minutes to say thanks, and I love you. Kick back on the text, but if you could just kick those out, it may get more people on. I'm getting a wild idea that possibly when we start having church, I'm going to have a pre broadcast on the program before we walk into church. So there may be a type of thing that if you're sitting at home, I'll be talking to you live Zoom or live Facebook or both like we're doing now, and then letting you know some of the announcements and things and some personal notes, and then I'll say, okay, now we're getting ready to go into the service, and then we'll go right into the service live, and it'll be kind of a neat way, and then even pick up afterwards with talking and letting you know if there's anybody that needs prayer or prayer request. And I would, if you have any prayer requests, feel free to let me know. And I would love to pray for you and lift you up. I was just talking to the overalls before the service here and asking if we were coming back on to in the building next Sunday. And the answer to that is, I don't think we're going to be allowed yet. We're not even close, I don't believe. If I was a guessing man, or if I could see the future, I would think it's probably going to be May 15th, June 1st. I think the governor is probably going to make some statements this week. Some of the mayors may be talking. I know Harris Health will not. I mean, tomorrow, if we're not wearing the mask in Harris County, if tomorrow, if we're not wearing the mask in Harris County, we are susceptible to a $1,000 fine and 180 days in jail. So they will be ticketing people tomorrow if we are in Harris County and don't have the mask on. So I've been practicing. Do I? Go ahead, Kim.
I thought that Turner rescinded that because all the other cities said that they weren't going to ticket people.
Well, if that's the truth, I hadn't got that word. So I hope that is, but I wear it all the time. I thought it was still going, but maybe not. I have not seen the news this weekend. I've been working, so I haven't paid attention. If that's the case, I apologize if that's wrong, but hopefully it's not. But it's kind of irritating that we have to be forced to do what's right. But it's that way with seatbelts. If you don't wear a seatbelt, you have a chance to get, and it's not, but the kicker of this one is, if I don't wear a seatbelt, it doesn't hurt you. If I don't wear a mask, I have the potential to hurt you and not even know it yet. And that's the problem with this virus, is you can be asymptomatic for days, a week, without even knowing you have it because it hasn't brought out symptoms. And then you're out talking to people face to face. And then all of a sudden you have a fever, you're diagnosed with it, and you go, okay, now who have I talked to the last 5 days? So the mask is just good wisdom. Take care of that. I've ordered some, and I think we're having some made, and they give us a free one every time we walk into Texas Children's. After we go through all that, they give you a mask. But if you have them and you go out, please make sure you wear those masks. Hey, Philip, I can see you. Good to see you. Do you have a word for us today, Philip? I'm just going to ask you to talk a little bit. What, anything on your mind this morning?
Well, sure. You know, God is good all the time. Romans 8:28, you know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep in perfect peace, yes, whose mind is stayed on him. So we just have to continue to fight the good fight of faith, as 1 Timothy 6:12 says, to fight the good fight of faith and to take hold of eternal life and the good confession that we had in the presence of many. So it's an ongoing fight until the end. And we know that the victory is already won. John 16:33 tells us that. So in the world, we will have tribulations, but in Christ, we will have we've got the victory and it's already won. So I thank God for that. And just being able to smile and see faces and, you know, and continue doing what we're doing. And that's going to go on anyway to those who love the Lord and are called. So praise Amen. God. Good to see you guys. I just thank God. We're ready for our Bible study at 11:30, which is right after the service. And we go on for hours.
That's good. You go on for hours.
Yeah. We don't be wanting to let go.
Well, I know I can go. It's so hard. I start going and then I don't want to shut down, but then I know I need to because people are either falling asleep. But in reality, what else do you have to do today? So you might as well, get off here, jump on to Philip and Monica's class or jump into Philip and Becky's class on Sunday morning beforehand. There's so many good options. And
praise the Lord.
Yes, amen, amen. Well, we're going to get started this morning. So I appreciate it. I want you to get your Bibles this morning because this is a story that I don't think everybody's familiar with. You know, we've been talking about some of the things, Jesus asleep in the boat. Majority of people that's been in Sunday school or know have minimal knowledge about the Bible say, oh, yeah, I remember that story. This story is another boat story, but it's not as familiar as I think is the ones that's in the Gospels. But we're going to jump into that. I'd like to start off with, first of all, just asking God to bless the word and the reading of the word and the teaching of the word. And Lord, we just want you to come in and just give us clarity and wisdom to not mess this up. Just let your word speak, and that's all we're shooting for. So Lord, we just ask for that, and just give us an open mind, an open heart, an open spirit to be able to receive everything that you want us to hear and what we need to hear. And everybody's going to hear something different, but I promise, Lord, if it comes from your word, it will all be your promises. It'll all be truth, and let that truth be known and planted today in those people's hearts that need that. And we all need that. In Jesus' name, amen. And, you know, I think that's what we're after is truth. And I hate to start off. Well, no, I don't hate to start off. But that great theologian, Dolly Parton, said these words. And I think it's so true. But that's why when I first heard this, I thought, I got to write this down. Storms make trees take deeper roots. And I like that. Storms allows the trees to dig in deeper. So if you think that all the stuff that we're going through right now is just causing us to be weak and simple-minded and we're just wimps when it comes to all of this in the world, sorry, devil, you're wrong. We're going to come out of this stronger, more powerful, closer together, more equipped, more everything, and have more strength and courage to be able to take the world on in a different way than we ever have imagined that we had the power to do. So I thought I'd start off with that. And believe you me, that's not found in the Bible, that Dolly Parton quote, so don't even start on that. Don't email me on that either. There is a verse I want you to just write down. Don't look up, because I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Here I go. I'm reaching for my coffee. But turn to the book of Acts. While you're turning there, I want to welcome everybody here. And I do miss you. I do love you. Had a great Zoom meeting with all of our teachers. Monday, I believe it was Monday, and it was just great to be able to give them encouragement, let them know that, you know, they're part of our family too in a major way. They have a ministry that reaches probably more people than what our church does as a whole too, because they have all these parents coming in and out and they communicate with daily. So in your prayers, write down the teachers, write down all those parents' names and all those kids' names, and if you still have those handprints of those children, don't stop praying for those handprints that have been handed out to you, because I think that's important. But it was just an encouragement that we're going to be able to supply the salary for the teachers for the rest of the school year. And everybody may be going, well, how can we do that? Well, believe it or not, we got the loan, not the loan, the grant. Well, it is a loan, but it's going to be forgiven through the SBA CARES Act. And President Trump signed into effect and the Congress made available to us. We got the money to be able to pay payroll for several months. As long as we didn't lay anybody off, then that loan becomes zero. We don't have to pay any of that back. So that is encouragement. It was a help for the school budget and our church budget. So I want to thank Jack and Glenna and everybody else that did all the work on that. The only work that I really did was try to find the information out and encourage them to start looking for that and find that. And we were in one of the first groups that got in. And because of that action, we were blessed with that gift from the government on that. We have some other options that we're looking at, but we're just taking it day by day, and we're on everything that we can be on to try to help us out. I don't know if it comes back through again, if it's refunded, if we have a chance to pull more or not, but it was a blessing now to at least get us through the end of the school year. But just wanted to start off with that and let you know to be praying for them each and every day, because they were kind of worried, as everybody is, And, you know, there's people out there that's losing their job. There's people in our church that have been laid off. There's people in our church's family that has, you know, lost jobs and went down to half pay or whatever. And so we want to just lift up everybody and be an encouragement, be faithful and courageous and strong that we're going to get through this together. And if there's anything that anybody needs, we still have the Faith Springs Connects group and the Faith Springs Cares group. All you have to do is call the church office, reach out to someone and say, hey, I need some help. I need this. And we will try to take care of that in a major way. And hopefully everybody's getting phone calls and everybody's getting reach outs to be able to let you know that we care, we love you, okay? So in 2 Timothy, as you're looking into the book of Acts, and I'll tell you the chapter here in a minute, in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So the Bible says that there are things in there that's examples for us to be able to follow when we're in situations like this. I always try to do that when God's word, when I open up God's word, I say, okay, this wasn't just a good story, God. It wasn't just a repeat of what has happened in the historical account, but what can I learn from this? How can I apply that scripture to me? And if you're a student of God's word, you know that it's not just there to give us information. It's there to provide us paths, lights, directions on how we are to live our life today. And I always want to apply God's word to my life as closely as I can. And so I never want to spend an hour with you on a Sunday morning and then you put your computer screen down and go, well, that was fun, but what's that mean to me? Before you put your screen down today, I hope you're going to say, wow, I can take that point, I can take that verse, I can apply that to my life, and let it be an encouragement of courage and strength for you. So that's what we're after this morning. Now, as we read this story, I believe that this story is put in the Bible to give us the confidence that we need to have in a crisis. Now, I'm not just talking about just the COVID crisis, but any crisis in your life, this story, and if you write in your margin, you can be able to put down the three things that we're going to talk about, and then on the other side of the margin, the three keys, and the other side of the margin, you'll be able to have a complete outline of what you need to do in a crisis. So in 6 months from now, or if you have a friend, let's say tomorrow, that just goes, oh man, my husband just told me that he wanted a divorce. How do I handle this? You can automatically open up your Bible to Acts and say, hey, I may not have the great wisdom of where to find a good attorney, but here is what God's word says, how to handle a situation like that in your life, okay? So it's applicable to so many other things, okay? So turn in your Bible, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Now, there's three kinds of storms in your life, and I'm just going to go through these real quick. There's three kinds of storms in your life. One is a storm that we bring on ourselves, okay? Samson, okay? He brought that storm on himself, all right? There are storms also that God causes. For instance, when the disciples were in the boat that we talked about a few weeks ago, and the storms begin to swirl, and Jesus was in the boat with them, and Jesus got up and said, guys, where was your faith? And then he looked at the storm and said, peace be still. Now, that was a storm that God possibly could have encouraged them to go through to teach them a deeper lesson. So there's storms that you can bring on yourself by wrong decisions. I went out and I spent $10,000 on a credit card that I knew I wasn't going to be able to pay, and you go, oh, Lord, I'm in a bind. What am I going to do? Well, that's a storm you brought on yourself, okay? The second one is a storm that God brings on to teach us something or to strengthen us in an area. And then there's a storm that is hard to deal with. It's a storm that other people have brought on, and you're an innocent bystander, and you're being hit with the shrapnel. It's like, I didn't ask for this. What in the world? It's kind of like being in an airplane, and the captain is up there drinking and is drunk, and he's trying to fly the plane, and everybody in the back is being shaken all around and go, well, I didn't ask for this. I've been a good person. But it's the storm that's brought on by other people's actions. And I want to see what this is about. These are the ones that are hard to deal with. And between me and you, storms don't play favorites. Sometimes storms hits like this storm here that we're in, hits everybody. Nobody's immune to it. We're all in this together, that kind of storm. Now, the background of how to deal with them before we get into this, but the background here is that the story is that God had put Paul on board this ship in Acts 27. They're going to Rome, and Paul's heart's desire was to go to Rome to preach. So Paul's motivation, Paul's acts were good, were clear, were pure. While they were on board, God told Paul to tell the crew, don't leave the harbor yet, because there's going to be a storm out in the middle of the Mediterranean. They ignored that warning from Paul, and they got impatient. That's where you get in trouble every time. When you get impatient, you ignore all the warnings from God, and you say, no, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I don't have a green light yet, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. You get impatient, and you run right out into the middle of the storm. There's a lot of people that have done this. I know this doesn't feel like the right person to marry, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it because I've already sent out the invitations. If you've been in that situation, you know what I'm talking about. If you'd only paused, made the right choice, it wouldn't have affected you like it would have. Okay, we are in Acts 27, around verse 9 and 10, if you want to jump into that, then hang it open. I'm not going to read you the whole story and then tell you what it says. I'm going to take you through verse by verse by verse and explain it as we go. So just keep your Bibles open, and you'll be able to write in the margins. So Acts 27, 9. First point, we're going to go through just till 10. Now, I haven't even got through half of the first page, and I got 10 pages. It's 10:23, so things ain't looking good. Okay. Acts 27:9 goes like this. Now, when much time has been spent and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, now listen to this, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. It's going to bring great loss to the ship and to the cargo and to our own lives as well. And yet, they went sailing right out into the storm. Why? Because it shows us, it's interesting that this passage shows us three most common reasons why people get themselves into a mess, okay, into a storm. The three most common reasons, jot these down fast because we're going to be quick with them. I have to be, I'm going to run out of time. The first one is in verse 11. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. He ignored Paul when Paul said, God says, hey, wait, this is going to be bad. We don't want to deal with this. It's going to be a storm. We're going to lose a lot of stuff. We're going to lose some people. We may even lose the ship. The first one, the first reason we get ourselves in messes is because we listen to the wrong experts. We listen to the wrong people. okay? There are a lot of crazy ideas out in this world. Every week there's a new therapy, a new cult, a new idea of somebody say, this is the key to life. And it has nothing to do with God's word. And it gets us in a mess. Everybody's got an expert opinion on everything. When you start asking the wrong experts, you're going to get yourself in a mess. Number two. And the verses say, since the harbor was unsuitable in winter, the majority decided, I want you to see that, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete that was facing both southwest and northwest. The second reason we get ourselves into trouble is sometimes we take a vote. Sometimes we say, okay, majority, what do you think? It's like, what's the majority's opinion? The fact is, majority is often wrong. The majority sometimes, not sometimes, often wrong. When Moses was with the children of Israel, the majority wanted to go back to Egypt. They had just been freed from slavery. They'd just been going out and experienced freedom for the first time, even though they hadn't made it to the promised land. When things got kind of tough, what did they all do? Well, let's take a vote. Can we go back and be slaves again? At least we were eating something. The majority was wrong. It's that way in Scripture so many times, and it's that way in your life so many times. So sometimes we get advice from the wrong people. Sometimes we listen to the majority and we take a vote. The way we hear this today is one little statement that the kids will do it. We'll say it to their parents. Well, Mom, everybody's doing it. And I love, for the first time in my life, that my three boys would say something like that. I could finally say the one statement that every parent dreams of saying one time in their life. Well, son, if everybody was jumping off the bridge, would you jump off too? I love that line. I used that line for years. It wasn't great advice, but it showed the principle of the statement. That just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. And we get ourselves in messes because of that. The third reason we get ourselves in the messes in verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Why do we get ourselves in trouble? We ask the wrong experts. We go with the majority in opinions. And we rely on circumstances. Notice it says there was a gentle south wind. What could be better than a nice, gentle wind, Mediterranean cruise, a gentle breeze to blow us over to the other side? They thought they had obtained exactly what they wanted. The circumstances looked favorable. Everything looked good. It seemed like a good thing. But the fact is, it was crazy to ignore what God said, even when it seemed like the conditions were perfect and it contradicted it. Contradicted what we thought God said. And we said, wait, it seems right. Let's go. Even though it was against God's word. Now, folks, just because the conditions are right, just because everything feels right, but if it's against God's word, ding, 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 alarm, it's wrong. That's how we get in messes. And I praise God, and it's hard to do this, folks, it's taken us years, but praise God to say, maybe we didn't belong in that building yet. We had things we had to learn, because I think we would have been in there at the wrong time, in the wrong conditions, and we probably would have messed it up more than what, and God must have known that. He prevented, he stopped us to be able to do it. It wasn't evil banks. it wasn't the first construction worker being just from the devil. It could have been what God needed us to experience so we could be in the position now. And when that opens, I promise you, we're going to be stronger and better, and we're going to be more equipped, more mature. And to be really, really brutally honest, boy, I don't know why I do this. I wasn't ready as a leader. I probably had some things I had to fix. I had some weird thoughts and weird ideas and weaknesses that I needed strengthened. I had my faith possibly in people. Oh, they'll do this for us, we can handle it, instead of God. And that's hard to say as the shepherd of the flock, but it's called honesty. And I'm ready now. I think God's getting us ready, prepared. He's kind of sanding off some of the little rough spots still and going to just open this up into something that's going to be absolutely beautiful, not for the glorification of me or a couple families or the bank or Clayton, the construction worker. It's not going to be in the glorification of any of that, but God himself. And then we are going to worship and praise him in that like we have never worshiped and praised before. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. We rely on circumstances. Now, as you keep reading through the verses there, as you follow the story, within hours, there was from this gentle, small, calm breeze, it turned into a typhoon. It turned into a typhoon. There was a hurricane, basically. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeastern swept down from the island, and the ship was caught in the storm and could not head into the wind. They got ourselves in trouble because they listened to the wrong experts, the majority of the opinion. It took a vote, and they listened to the circumstances around them. And they found themselves in the middle of a storm. Now, when you're in a crisis, when you're in the middle of a storm, typically, and this is the next three things, typically, you do three different things. Verse 15, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it, and we were driven along. Jump to verse 17. They let the ship be driven along. You see that? So they couldn't, they started to drift. The first thing storms tend to get us to do, it causes our lives to drift. We just let go of our goal. We forget where we're headed. We forget our values. We just start drifting and going from one place to another. We've got to realize back in those days, they didn't have a compass. They were in a storm, and the Bible tells us later on that for 2 weeks, they couldn't even see the stars. For 2 weeks, they were in total darkness. When you're in a complete dark situation, when you can't see the stars, when you don't have a compass, what do? You drift. You just let the waves beat you back and forth, and you just go wherever it goes. Sometimes life feels like that. I don't know how many times just this past week I've been talking to people from the church, and I've used the line, boy, it seems like when it rains, it pours, huh? They go from one wave, one blast of a hurricane wind to another, to another, to another, and it just seems like you're drifting. And that's sometimes how we typically handle things in a crisis, and that's not right. We can't do that. You kind of say, why even make the effort? Because I'm not winning this battle. I jump down to verse 17. We're still in this. I want to see the second thing. So we drift sometimes when we're in a storm. So we took a violent, verse 18. So we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. These guys were getting desperate. They were starting to worry. They ate one more meal, then they threw all their meals overboard, the food and everything. And that's what happens sometimes in a crisis. First, you start to drift. And then the second thing is we tend to discard. We start throwing things out of our lives, things that we need to be able to survive. The sailors were throwing stuff overboard. First the cargo, the ship's tackle, then the food. Then later on, they started thinking about throwing themselves overboard to swim ashore. The point is, often we get into a storm, we're tempted to throw out the very things that are precious to us or so important to us and the values that we hold on to in better times. So in the middle of the storm, don't throw away your values. Hang on to them stronger than they've ever been. You don't want to get rid of that stuff. You need that stuff. That's what grounds you. We tend to drift, and then we start throwing away, discarding important things. Don't allow yourself to do that. You hang in there. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. In a crisis, you tend to drift, you tend to discard, you tend to despair. Finally, notice the verse there. Finally, we gave up all hope. That's the last thing you throw out when you got a problem, is hope. When you throw that away, you've had it. That's the last thing that goes. Picture this. 14 days in total darkness in a little tiny ship in the middle of the Mediterranean being bashed back and forth. One of the biggest storms they've ever experienced, and they were throwing everything out, everything overboard. And then finally, the last thing they could throw out was hope. They said, we're doomed. We're finished. We don't have any hope. Does that seem like some of you right now? You've been going through a problem and in this situation and maybe another personal problem in your own life. This doesn't have to be always about COVID-19. There's things bigger than COVID-19 in this world. I want to let you know that. But you're going through things this past week, this past month, for the past months, and it's starting to batter you back and forth. You've been thrown from left to right, and you're tempted, and you're throwing out your values now because you don't even know what to believe in anymore, and you think you're in an impossible situation, and then you finally give up hope. You give up hope. I want to let you know. The point is to not forget that God is in control. God is in control of everything in your life. And the point is, they forgot that God was in control. They had forgotten that God had a plan. They had forgotten the fact that he can inject hope into an absolutely, positively hopeless situation. He has that power to be able to inject it in those situations that seem so hopeless. The amazing part of this story that I want you to see, and now we're getting ready to turn this around, is that Paul, I want you to see his reaction. That's what I want to look at. This morning, and all this was for this right here, Paul's reaction. It was a 180 degree complete turnabout from the way the sailors responded to the crisis. The sailors were in panic. They were in despair. They said it was hopeless. They were discouraged. They were depressed. They were down. They didn't know what to do. They threw it all out. They drifted for days, and they finally gave up hope. But when you read about Paul and Paul's reaction, this is his. And I said this to the teachers the other day, and I want to say it to you too. In these kind of situations, panic always breeds panic. Panic breeds panic. If you go into a room of a lot of people that are just sitting around and you're panicked, and you just say, oh, you won't understand. The sky's falling. The world's ending. The economy's going into depression. This is going, we're all going to lose our jobs. We're all going to lose our lives. The business is going to be closed. Nothing's ever going to look the same. When you start panicking and you start expressing that, that is so contagious that it goes right around the room. And before long, everybody's having a panic attack. Panic breeds panic. But let me tell you here. Let me tell you what you need to do in your life. It's not me telling you. It's God's word telling you. Calm breeds calm. Calm breeds calm. And I have to deal with this so many times. When we're in church, somebody will come in from the parking lot. Oh, pastor, I understand this is happening. Oh, it's just going to be terrible. It's like, wait. No. Wherever you heard that, we're okay. Everything's fine. Calm breeds calm. Panic breeds panic. What do you want to project right now? What, as we as Christians, believers that are grounded in God's word, what should we be projecting right now? Calmness, faith. Look at Paul's reaction here. Paul's reaction. He's calm. He's confident. He's got courage in the crisis. Absolutely nothing is fazing him. He's not perturbed by it. When we look at this passage, we learn how to be confident in a crisis. Although, those are the natural reactions that we tend to have. They don't have to be our reactions in life when a crisis hits us. Paul's reaction was one of confidence. I don't like that. But the test of faith, the test of your faith, is how do you handle it when the problems come in on you and you're tempted to despair, tempted to drift, and you're tempted to discard everything that you believe in. What do you do? How do you deal with it? What do you do next? Here we go. You ready? Write this stuff down. Why was Paul such a confident person? Let's jump into like verse 29. I just want to kind of keep you up to this. Fearing, verse 29, fearing that he would be dashed against the rocks, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and they prayed for daylight. If you just joined, the first of it was all prelude. This is the key. When storms hit you, dig in. When you're in the middle of a storm, drop your anchor. Drop your anchor. Just stand still. Put your roots down. Situations change and the sands of time shift. But the Bible says in Psalm 127, he who puts his trust in God is like Mount Zion. He is immovable. You have anchors. You have anchors. Why was Paul so confident? Because he was encouraged by three fantastic, tremendous truths. They are the foundations of the biblical Christian lives that we ought to believe in. They are the anchors of the soul. And Hebrews says, hope is the anchor of the soul. So here we go. We find these three truths that we need to apply to our lives right now. And it's in these verses here. Verse 22. But I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. That's a statement of a confident person. Paul said, don't worry. None of you are going to die. You're all going to make it. This too is going to pass. You're going to lose a ship, but don't worry, you're going to make it. Why did he have such confidence? Verse 23. Last night, when an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me, he said, God had sent a representative to stand by me. He's saying it right there. The first anchor that you drop in a crisis is the presence of God. He's with us. Storms can scare you. Storms can get you all scattered around. Storms can get you all depressed or all anxious and all tensed up. But I want to tell you what, there's not a storm big enough in this world that can ever, ever cover up the face of God. Not one. Not one. And we're not even close to that here. A storm's never big enough to hide the face of God. Oh, that's a good line. No storm is ever that big. That's the first truth I want you to see. But Paul had a personal experience. He had a reminder. God had sent a representative, an angel, and said, I'm with you. You're okay. I'm never going to leave you. And we have this in Scripture. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. I will send you a comforter. God has told us time after time after time in Scripture, I have a representative that's right there beside you. That's right inside of you. I am there to be able to help you through it. He's with me. That's my anchor. The second anchor, not only the number one is God's presence, but the second anchor that you need to have, that you should take from this story and apply to your life right now. Verse 24. This angel stood by me and said, Paul, don't be afraid. You must stand trial. You must. That's a tough word. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all those who sell with you. God came to Paul and said, I have a plan for your life. This isn't going to kill you. I have a plan for your life. You're going to make it through this. You're going to get to Rome. You're going to preach in Caesar's court. And I have a purpose for your life that's greater than this temporary storm that you're in. Oh, wow, what an awesome line. I have a greater plan. I have something in plan for you in your life that's greater than the storm that we are in right now. Isn't that awesome? This isn't it. I love that. E.V. Hill, a pastor that's passed away, an African-American pastor in California, and he used to always say this, this ain't it. This ain't the last of our life. God has a plan for us. Our destiny hasn't changed just because there's some virus floating around out there. If God has a destiny for me, and it's to do this, 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 and this, something can't come in and counteract that and prevent the rest of it to happen. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. Children that are listening to this, sneak in here. He has a plan for each and every one of you. This isn't it. This is a temporary time that we get to pause in life and dig deeper. And dig deeper. And spend more time with Him. Spend more time in His Word. Spend more time with your mom and dad. Spend more time, you know, just doing things that is going to prepare us for the plan that is going to happen on the other side of this. Paul, he said, Paul, your life's not ending here. You're still going to preach in Rome. You're still going to preach in Caesar's court. You're still going to be doing all this. I have a plan, and nothing has disrupted that. As a Christian, every Christian ought to have a sense of destiny. I know us older folk wonder, why am I even here? What's left for me? Teenagers and kids that are listening, I really want you to hear that you are a creation by our Heavenly Father that has something designed just for you to accomplish in your life for Him. He has a destiny for you. Us old folks, there's still hope for us. There's always hope for us. But I want you young folks to hear that. Maybe some of the old folks need to, too. You can listen to me while I'm talking to the kids. There's a destiny for your life. You are created in such a marvelous way, and you are wired in such a wonderful way. There's things that only you can do that He already has planned out. He already has planned out through the rest of your life. All you have to do is somewhere in the middle of what's going on right now, say, hey, Lord, what about me? You have something for me? What can I do? What do you have figured out for me? And try to fall into that will that God has, that plan that He has just for your life. So the anchor is the presence of God. The second anchor is the plan of God. He has a plan. He has a presence for you. And the third one, verse 25, and we're almost done. We're going to make it. I promise. I'm getting another. The third anchor. Ooh, I'm getting all kinds of texts. I say something wrong? Okay. Third anchor. The third truth. It gives us confidence in a crisis. Verse 25. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. The third anchor is God's promise. You got God's presence, God's plan, and God's promise. He said, God told us we're going to make it. He told us we're going to make it to the other side. Does God keep His promises? Ding, 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 ding. Absolutely. 100%. Show me one promise in God's word that He hasn't kept. There's not one. He has kept every one. God is the ultimate promise keeper. Storms cannot destroy the child of God because of God's promise. It can't happen. This storm will not destroy you, will not destroy me, will not destroy those perfect little children out there, those precious gifts from God. Yeah, they're not perfect, but they're precious. It can't destroy that because of God's promise. It can't. Keep courage, for I have faith that it will happen just as He told me. Wow. Your promises are overwhelming you, or your problems are overwhelming you, and you think you're going down for the last time. Think you're going under in the storm and the waves for the last time. Let me say this from God to you. You may lose the boat. You may lose the cargo. You may lose the tackle. You may get wet. But you're going to make it because it's a promise of God. God said it. I believe it. It's there. It's a confident and the confidence that you need to have in a crisis. Look at verse 24. God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Everybody in the boat was saved because of Paul. What does that say to you? It means to me, think about it. It means to me that the safest place to be is around a godly person. Get around godly people. People who are in contact with the Lord. God said to Abraham, if you'll find just five righteous people, I'll spare Sodom. The whole city would have been saved if they had just found five righteous people. Get around godly people. It's the safest place to be. So what do I do while I'm waiting on God to fulfill his promise. We're on the last lap here. Some of you right now in days of darkness, you don't like it. You feel discouraged. You feel like it's kind of hopeless. God has you tuning in this morning for a reason, and I believe that. So let me be as serious as a heart attack right now with you. God has you here listening to this for a reason. He brought you here to say, to hear me say, hang on. Hang on. What are you supposed to do while you're hanging on? Do what Paul did in verse 29. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern. Anchor yourself in the truth of God, in the truths of God's word. We've talked about that. And then, what else did they do? They prayed for daylight. Based on God's promises, they let their anchors down and they prayed. Craig, what do I do? I'm anxious, I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm depressed, I'm upset, I'm filled with anxiety. Pray. Pray. And when you're done, pray more. When you're done, pray again. When you think he's just said amen, say, dear Lord, and pray again. You keep praying until daylight. Don't you stop praying for this. Don't you start praying when after the governor says what he's going to say, after what President Trump says what he's going to say. You pray before, during, and after. You keep on praying through this storm. That's what is going to bring this country back to, is prayer and to God. And that's where the hope is. That's where our anchor should be mounted in. Not what the government's going to do for us, not what Harris County's going to do for us, or Brazoria County's going to do for you, but what God is going to do for us in the middle of this crisis. Look at verse 39. The result is this, and then I'm done. Only got a couple more minutes. Verse 39. When daylight came, they didn't recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. And then it goes on to say, they ran the ship aground. They all jumped overboard to swim to land. Verse 44. The rest were to get on planks in the water on pieces of the boat. And in this way, everyone reached the land safely. Got a happy ending. They all reached the land in safety. The entire ship. How many were on there? Remember, they took a boat. It was 27-3. That's not very good odds. But God gave them a promise, and everyone reached the land safely. They all made it. I want to kind of end. I got a couple more minutes, but end with the scripture. Hebrews 6:19 says, hope is the anchor of the soul. It will keep you from being smashed against the rocks. It will keep you from going under and staying under. We all have times of pain. We all have times of doubt. We all have times of panic. But I want to let you know, hang in there with that anchor. And then I found this quote as I was preparing this, and I thought this really, really sounded good. God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. God creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles. God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles. We're going to come out of this stronger and better than ever. And then last verse, and we're going to close in prayer. Joshua 1:9 says, I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You have the Lord Jesus in your life? Have you been kind of straying away from him and saying, hey, I'm learning this stuff, but I really don't know how to do it. I just want to lead you right now, real quick. And hope Donna will let me stay on for another minute or two. But if you need Jesus Christ in your life right now, all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. I don't know what all these anchors are about, but I want to drop those anchors in you. I want to drop those anchors in you. Please. See my heart. Give me peace. Come into my heart. I believe in you. And forgive me of all my sin. I want to be that one person that is grounded in you, in my family, or in my circle of friends. Please let me be grounded in you and let me be a child of yours. Come into my heart, forgive me of my sin. And don't have to be that elaborate, but just say, Lord, I believe in you. Forgive me. Make me a child of yours. And that's what it takes. And God's promise, the Lord's promises that we just talked about all through this, he keeps every one of them. He says, when you call upon my name, you will be saved. You'll be saved. Does that mean that this very moment when you say you're saved and you close this computer screen, that you won't be in the storm anymore? No, it doesn't say that. Paul was a believer. He was in a boat with a whole bunch of non-believers, but he made it. He still had to go through the storm, but he had the confidence. There it is. He had the confidence to drop the anchor. The anchor holds, though this ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees when I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. That anchor, I promise you, will hold for you. But don't take my word for it. Please take God's word for it. Because his word never lies. Dear Lord, we pray right now that there's people that decide to make decisions for you. Lives will be changed. Hearts will be mended. Hope will run and fill their lives even more than what it ever has. Because we decided this morning, on this Sunday in April, to drop all of our anchors in you, in your presence, in your plan, in your promise, in you. It can't be in anything else but you. Let your word grow roots deeper than they ever have in our hearts before. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to let you know I appreciate you so much for being here this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your encouragement. I'm going to go on now and get on here and just write back and text you and let you know that I love you and I appreciate it. If there's ever anything that we can do, if there's anything that I can do, anybody in the family that can do to help you, let us know. Reach out, text me, call Esther at the church office. Let us know how we can help you. If you just received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please text me. I have some things I want to pray for you about. I have some things I want to send you, and I'd love to be able to find out if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. Hope you have a great day today. I'm getting ready to go out in this and probably put a couple hours into work, but we'll be praying for you. Thank you and appreciate you being here in your presence. And keep smiling and always keep the anchor holds. In spite of the storm, the anchor holds. And we always have that hope. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And we'll see you next week right here at 10 o'clock for another service of Faith Springs Live. God bless. Have a good one.